Blog Talk Radio.
Paying you somebody to work for you now.
Yeah, sure enough.
There comes a time when we heed a certain call, when the world must come together as one. There are people dying. Oh, when it's time to lend a hand to life, the greatest gift of all.
Day by day,
that someone somewhere will soon make a change. We all are part of God's great big family,
and the truth, you know, love is all we need.
Better day, just you and me. When it's done.
We are coming together this morning as we come together to save our world. And we admit wars and rumors of war. And Psalms 7, Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd that I shall not want. I'm praying for you and even you, those that come in the queue this morning, to let you know all is well. Seeing what's going on over in Europe and what's going on over, killing of innocent people. And then America needs to stay out of other people's business and take care of its own business. It's all that stuff that's going on because you got corrupt government officials. They will not tell the truth. I'm praying for you, you and you. Mother Betty, I'm praying for you. Mother Jesus, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you, Mother Rosie. Every letter, every telephone call is a expression of love. I'm ready. As God tells us, we're getting ready to go to the next level. We're going into a wormhole. We're going into time hurt people because it brings us out of evil and it brings us out of negativity. So this morning, I want you to get ready to understand as you travel, spirit. Out with new words from God. Now I'm praying for you, Mother Brandon down in New Orleans. She was talking about how the flood. Get ready for 2023-24. It's changes taking place in our ecosystem. And what that means, Lorraine, it's going to change in how we think, how we take in the storm back to back. One young lady from Minnesota, and she moved down to Miami. And that particular time, they had a tornado for a high down. What you might not be. Could have took your life. Sometimes you got to see what God said and see how to monitor yourself, how to go. God is still in control. And whatever you need, God got what you need. I believe that we will overcome if we just stay focused.
There's a little song that we sing in our movement down in the South. I don't know if you've heard it, but it has become the theme song. We shall overcome. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. Though I join hands so often with students and others behind jail bars singing it, we shall overcome. Sometimes we've had tears in our eyes when we joined together to sing it, but we still decided to sing it. We shall overcome. No, before this victory is won, some will have to get thrown in jail some more, but we shall overcome. Don't worry about us. Before the victory is won, some of us will lose jobs, but we shall overcome. Before the victory is won, even some will have to face physical death. But if physical death is the price that some must pay to free their children from a permanent psychological death, then nothing shall be more redemptive. We shall overcome. Before the victory is won, some will be misunderstood and called bad names and dismissed as rabble-rousers and agitators. But we shall overcome. And I'll tell you why. We shall overcome.
Some of the people come because they're not ready for change in their home, in the colleges, in their business. And Dr. King was saying, we shall overcome. It was not overcoming the white man. It was overcoming the elements of the madness, the mass evil. Abaddon, the death angel, have killing many people all over the land. So we shall overcome those that are men of God and women of God. We should be strong enough. I'm praying for you, Dr. Christian. I'm praying for you, Sister Russell. I'm praying for all of you that call. Mama Jo, I'm praying for you. Reverend, I'm praying for you. Some of your scars and stop. It's because you got to overcome that evil. You got to overcome that sickness. You got to overcome. Father God, we come right now. Touch every man, every woman. God, heal every man, every woman. Bleed the blood of the Almighty God right now. We bleed the breakthrough that right now that somebody need a healing tonight. By the Holy Spirit, I'm praying for deliverance right now. And I know God will bring you out and you will overcome.
There's a little song that we sing in our movement down in the South. I don't know if you've heard it, but it has become the theme song. We shall overcome. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. Though I join hands so often with students and others behind jail bars singing it, we shall overcome. Sometimes we've had tears in our eyes when we joined together to sing it, but we still decided to sing it. We shall overcome. No, before this victory is won, some will have to get thrown in jail some more, but we shall overcome. Don't worry about us. Before the victory is won, some of us will lose jobs, but we shall overcome. Before the victory is won, even some will have to face physical death. But if physical death is the price that some must pay to free their children from a permanent psychological death, then nothing shall be more redemptive. We shall overcome. Before the victory is won, some will be misunderstood and called bad names and dismissed as rabble-rousers and agitators. But we shall overcome. And I'll tell you why. We shall overcome because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. We shall overcome because Carlyle is right. No lie can live forever. We shall overcome because William Cullen Bryant is right. Truth crushed to earth will rise again. We shall overcome because James Russell Lowell is right. Truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne. Yet that scaffold sways the future. Behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadow, keeping watch above his own. We shall overcome because the Bible is right. You shall reap what you sow. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart,
Now, that was Dr. King. He was saying, we shall overcome. And what he was saying, that we resurrected bones in the valley, of hope, in the valley of mismanagement, in the valley of murder and hate. We will overcome that because we are better men and women. And I want to tell you this morning, all is well. And I want to tell you this morning, we're going to overcome the negativity that's been going on in our life, been going on around us. And today, by night, we're going to overcome the darkness that try to hold us back. we're going to overcome that. So I know we overcome that. Come in our life to give us a way we can go. So you got to get ready for a breakthrough. And when the breakthrough comes, you got to get ready to understand the breakthrough. Breakthrough, that means the door will open up for you. Okay? Once you understand that. And once you understand the breakthrough, all doors close. All doors close to open up for you and give you the understanding that as a man, you need, and as a man, you won't. God has allowed us to come together one more time for knowledge and wisdom. God has asked you to stay in the man's position. Anointed man and anointed woman of God know better. This go out for you, Mama Joe. Deborah Ann, this for you. Russell, this is all for you today. I want to tell you, go out for you, Dr. Christian. And I want to tell you, go out for you, Sister Cook, that called me earlier. And I want to tell you, was on last night, and Dr. Russell was on. So God allowed us to come together. The need of sickness, the people, we're going into the wormhole, and we come out of that wormhole with knowledge and wisdom, the moon, the star, and things transfer. Thank you.
Said I wouldn't live to be 38 years old, but when February 1st, 1994, you that's sitting here tonight that know that the Lord has been good to you.
Sister Maxine, I'm praying.
Some of you
feel a little bit what you see was going on.
Jesus is the light of the world. Mm-hmm. I'm praying for them this morning. Is still the light of the world. On his way. Help me to hold out. You're going to be all right. Whenever you don't feel like they can't make it. And it seems like no food, no growth. But God going to step in. He's going to heal the broken heart. So just give me the whole lot. Somebody needs to hold out. Somebody needs something to hold out. And some of
Don't hold out.
It seems like,
you feel like you can't make it, but God
got your back.
Praise God.
I'm praying for you this morning. Sister Hattie, I'm praying for you this morning. Something about God.
The hand of the Lord was upon me. and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and put me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. The prophet and the valley of dry bones. Among those who were carried away was a young man by the name of Ezekiel, who had obviously been trained to be a priest. When we study his minute descriptions of the temple order and of the temple liturgy, when we read of his intimate knowledge of things directly or indirectly concerned with Judaism, we must conclude that he had formal training as a priest. But along with the vision that Ezekiel reveals here, along with others that he records in his book, one thing he wanted to convince Israel of, that her God had not fallen, yes, and her God was not dead. Yes. He wanted Israel to understand that her God, as he depicts in the vision where he saw the vague outline of a man sitting upon a chariot throne, engulfed in a cloud, and with priestly functionaries going in and coming out from the mercy seat. He was saying, we told him about wheels that he saw in the middle of wheels, and that these wheels were guarded by angels, and that these wheels had eyes, and that these wheels did not deviate from their course. He was telling Israel first about the overruling providence and power of God, and about Israel was a part of God's eternal plans and purposes. While Israel was one wheel, ever moving, and above that was another wheel, that was the Babylonian wheel, it was moving, and that above that was another wheel, which was God's universal wheel, and God's universal plan, and all of these wheels were moving, because all of God's plans are always moving. Maybe you think you have stopped him. Maybe you think you have blocked him. Maybe you can't see the movement. But God's plans never stand still. You can't bother them and you can't stop them. So the writer here tells us that angels were with God. Father, if you please. So, to Israel, we see in this vision, Babylon was a desolate place. Babylon represented a valley to Israel, a valley of depravity, a valley of disfranchisement, a valley of hopelessness, a valley of dry bones, a valley of lifelessness. In one of the great cities of the ancient time, Babylon to Israel was a valley. Someone might marvel If Babylon was a great city, how could it be regarded by the Israelites as a valley? Well, you see, a city may be one thing to one people, or a country may mean one thing to one people, and altogether another thing to another people. When the white Europeans came to this country, embarked upon these shores, America to them was a land of promise, was a mountaintop of possibility, was a mountaintop of adventure. But to the Negro, when he embarked upon these shores, America to him was a valley. A valley of slavehood, a valley of slavery and oppression, a valley of sorrow, so that often we have to say, one of these days, I'm going to eat at the feast and pay. One of these days, the chariot of God will swing low. I wish I had somebody here praying with me. So that Babylon to Israel was a place of hopelessness. It was a valley of dry bones. A valley of dry bones. Well, the prophet tells us, and considering a prophet, what is a prophet anyway? Since the prophet was God's representative, God's ambassador, God's watchman there in Babylon. You know, and the word prophet can be interchanged with the word preacher. So a prophet is a preacher. And a preacher ought to be a prophet. Not a prophet such as we are told and talk about sometimes. Not a funny person. Not somebody with their head tied up or selling luck or anything like that. Not that kind of prophet. But I mean a real prophet. A prophet called of God. A prophet born of God. A prophet sent from God. A prophet inspired of God. A prophet is one who knows the past, who understands the present, and out of his knowledge of the past and his insight of the present, he's able to predict the future. A prophet is one who has sense, insight, and foresight. With sight, he looks on things. With insight, he looks into things. With foresight, he looked beyond things. Such a man was Ezekiel. And he uses the symbol of a valley to describe Israel's Babylonian situation. The symbol of a valley. But you see, a valley suggests a low place between mountains. And to Israel, there were obstructing mountains surrounding her. Her situation in Babylon. Economic mountains. Social and political mountains. Religious mountains. Encircled and enclosed her in. And she was down here in the stagnant air of a valley in Babylon. So that he said that he was in the spirit. And that gives validity to it, you know. People speak a little bit about the spirit now. But I'm afraid that the church is losing a great deal of its spiritual consciousness. It wasn't unusual for folk to say when I was growing up as a boy, the Spirit told me.
do certain things. Or I was led by the Spirit to do certain things. So that this prophet was a spiritual mind, a spirit-filled, God-conscious prophet. And he said, while being in the Spirit, the Lord led him out to the valley. And then led him to the midst of the valley. And sat him down in the midst of it. What he was really saying, that God led him to the heart of Israel's problem and Israel's situation in Babylon. That's what he was saying. God took him in a far-going survey, in a far-going analysis and understanding of Israel's Babylonian situation. And when the Lord had led him to the heart of Israel's problem, set him down there, then for fear that way out on the periphery of things, he'd missed something. Then the Lord led him round and about the valley, or took him and encompassed the valley, circled it on all sides, that he might not miss the remotest problem of Israel's situation. And when the survey was thorough and complete, the Lord posed the question to him and said, "Son of man, son of man, I wish you could hear me. Can these bones live?" That son of man seemed to be reminiscent of man's limitation, reminiscent of man's finiteness, man's humanity. Son of man. Son of man, you are a scholar. You are an educator. Son of man, you are a scientist. Can these bones? Son of man, you are an engineer. Can these bones live? Son of man, you are a heart specialist. Son of man, you are a geologist. You are a botanist. You are a specialist in various phases of the human body. You are a psychologist and psychiatrist. You know all about drives and reactions and responses and tendencies. No, with all of this knowledge, can you tell me, can these bones live? Can these bones live? Son of man, you've found pathways in the air. You have circumvented the earth. Son of man, you have found highways upon the sea. And you've made your own highways under the sea. Can these bones live? Can these bones live? With of life. Oh, we know a lot of things. We know what the human problems are. We know men are mean. We know men are prejudiced. We know that men are narrow-minded. And we know they are selfish. We know men are unkind, ruthless, and cruel. We know men are murderers and sinful. But what we don't know is what to do about it. But we know what the problem is. We've made an analysis of it. We've already diagnosed the case.
something about walking with him. Hallelujah. Every day gets sweeter than the day before.